cliffcentral.com.
Charlie Puth. How do you like that? Mm-mm. It's an unfortunate name, but he's a talented musician.
I wonder if it's his real name and how high school was for him as a result.
Charlie Puth.
Ben, I feel like you bullied people in school.
No, he was bullied.
What would you have, like, bullied?
I went to a boys' school. There was nothing but bullying. You were either bullied or you were the bully. Yeah, there was never any chill.
Shame. Yeah, and high school is rough.
Yeah, but that's what makes us who we are now.
No!
Chiseled, well-shining individuals of balance and...
that's what makes me need therapy.
Now, tell you about people of balance. Mike Stopforth, we all know Mike. He's a well-known guy when it comes to social media, when it comes to his own business here in South Africa, the things that he's done. He's an inspiring entrepreneur. And he bought this device. I read this yesterday on his Facebook, and I actually couldn't believe what I was seeing. So he bought this, what is it, a golfing? You know what this is.
Basically, Mike, being the incredible man that he is, decided to turn one of the rooms of his house into a golf course. You can with the simulator, right? So he was living that dream, but then he got to the point where he didn't need this thing anymore.
Yeah.
It's a screen, and you can literally play a golf course around the world. You hit into the screen, it tells you how far it goes. It's a virtual experience. But he no longer needed this in his now more mature days.
All right, so he's got this golfing simulator, so he decides he's going to sell it. So lo and behold, who buys it? The Guptas.
Mm. Well,
it's pretty much unbelievable. I've got him on the line here. We're going to talk to Stopforth and just see what the hell. Is this true that Guptas bought your golf simulator?
Hi, Jim.
Hey, man.
Can you repeat that? I didn't hear that so well.
I said, did the Guptas buy your golf simulator?
Well, they attempted to, sir. They tried their best, but they failed dismally.
Now, what happened, Mike? I mean, I read this thing on your Facebook yesterday, and I was flabbergasted.
So, it's a long story, and it goes back quite a while now. And I need to add that as a disclaimer, because it's important that all of this took place before their infamy escalated to, kind of a disproportional rate.
In other words, before they used Watercliffe Air Force Base as a private landing strip for their weddings?
Well, no. It was after that.
Okay. So they were just starting to become famous.
It was in the early days of their fame. It was sort of the, yeah. So what happened was I a couple of years ago, purchased this indoor golf simulator, had a spare room in the house that wasn't being used, and it made perfect sense to put a 3x3 meter net inside there with a computer and a simulator. Yeah, like everybody would,
Oh, sure.
And it was great fun. And then my wife and I got pregnant, so kind of the hierarchy of the rooms changed dramatically, and we shifted them all down, and my beloved simulator got relegated to the garage, right?
Right.
Nice sound effect. But realizing that it wasn't getting the airtime it deserved, I kind of asked a couple of friends of mine in the industry if they were interested in taking it, and maybe thought I could give it to the golf club to use or whatever it might be. But anyway, cut a long story short, the pro at Country Club Johannesburg said he knew someone who might be interested in using it, and I should put together a price list for him, which I did. I sent it off, and he came back and said this guy's very keen, which was surprising in the least. It's not really kind of a cheap.
Cheap, and these things are hard to come by, and you probably thought, I'm never going to sell it. It's going to sit in the garage gathering dust, and it'll be the worst investment I've ever made. How much money are we talking? How much do these things cost?
I'm not prepared to disclose that.
Give me an idea. Ballpark figure. Come on. Are we talking tens, or are we talking hundreds of thousands?
It's the latter.
Wow.
Not like multiple hundreds of thousands.
Okay, but
it depends, right? Because the simulator itself is quite a pricey piece of equipment, but then there's peripherals around it, so you need a PC to run.
Yeah.
And these guys are obviously very good at trapping people, idiots like me, into spending a lot of money, because there's software packages that go with it and all sorts, and you have to have the specific course.
Just as an aside, how good is your golf game?
It's actually got worse. Comprehensively worse. I reckon Ben could support that or corroborate that. But yeah, no, it's got significantly worse.
All right, so let's just get back to the story. So that you get this high-price item that's sitting in your garage. You actually find an interested potential buyer, and you think, wow, the stars have aligned. This is incredible.
Yeah, so the guy then sends me the address and says the chap that's interested would like a live demo. So off I go, I pack it all into the car, I put the address into the GPS, it's 5 Saxonwell Drive, still don't click until I pull up at the driveway of what it can only be described as the palatial compound and realize where I am.
Okay. So, at that moment, you know this is the Guptas.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sort of too late to turn around, though, you know?
No, sure. I mean, why would you? If you could sell it to them, great.
Right.
You can get some of your tax money back.
Presumably, yeah. Not all of it, but some of it, yeah. And right. Presumably get to see some of the inner sanctum. So they let me inside, and I was redirected one of the properties that was empty, one of the houses on the property that was empty, and I kind of dropped everything off. I got a call 2 weeks later to say, please come and set up the electronic part of it. Boss Gupta, that is referred to as Boss Gupta by the local superintendent. There's a Portuguese gentleman that runs the property. And
Is Boss Gupta AJ or Atul?
Atul, as far as I understand.
Wow, okay. He's the He's the older one.
He's like the mega good to you.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
You haven't met him.
As pertains to golfing matters.
But you haven't... No,
maybe
you
not.
You didn't get to see him or talk to him or any of that stuff?
No.
Okay.
No. He was in the extra large house. I was in sort of the large house, yeah.
Okay.
So I came back. I set up the electronic part, and I had an opportunity to demonstrate to his kids. And their friends, they had kind of like a whole crew in, a whole entourage, and they loved it. I thought I did a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. I got a milkshake for my efforts, which is great. Very, very good milkshake.
Yeah.
And then I kind of had visions of that final scene in, what's it called? There Will Be Blood, P.T. Anderson's oil baron movie. Remember that?
Yes,
I drink your milkshake.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Get back to the point, Mike. And I left. And then we had an email exchange where I hoped that I would get paid for it. And it turned out that when it came to actually paying for the goods, and I'm going to use what was said to me in, you know, kind of verbatim. I said, it would be great if I could get paid for it by close of business next Tuesday. If not, I'll come through and I'll pick up the items. And the response was, we do not operate on the subscript. Which I assume to mean we do not operate under the threat of having to pay for something.
What?
So I went back, not knowing exactly what I would find when I was there, and picked up the simulator, and it was all fine, and left the compound for the last time, and that was my...
So they did. They refused to pay you, but they did give it back, and it seems that they...
They did give it back.
They're not used to disbursing money unless you're a cabinet minister who needs to be captured.
Yes, and maybe that, I guess, we're trying to identify my political influence at the time. I'm not sure. I think they realized that I have none.
Yeah.
And so it was a disappointing business engagement for them. I think all around, they were very unhappy with my performance. Yeah.
Well, they're not even just big-time crooks. They're also small-time crooks. They don't mind taking a couple of $100,000 off of someone if they can get away with it.
I have no idea. So I don't want to say these words, but to their credit, it was all in good working order, and I got it back, and there were no issues. But I think they would have been quite happy for me to forget that it was there, and just leave it there. I guess a little longer.
What have you done?
It was an interesting experience.
What have you done with it since? Where is this useless piece of equipment?
Still in the garage. I'm still playing really bad golf. I'm going to use this opportunity to try and identify if there are any other people as idiotic as me out there.
Yeah, if you're a complete ignoramus and you've got your head up your backside and you feel like buying something off of Stopforth, then make the guy a couple of hundred grand richer. Go on, let's do this.
That's my kind of person.
It's still a worthwhile purchase, Gareth. If you want something like this in your house, it is amazing. It's a great conversation point. It's like, hey, what do you do today? Oh, well, it's raining. Okay, well, come play golf at my house. Because we can.
You guys got anything to do tonight? Okay, cool. Should we play Connie Speak? Right.
Exactly.
It's ideal.
All right, Stopforth. Listen, I'm glad you got it back, and well done on your interaction with that family. I mean, most of us don't get into that compound. So at least you could say you were inside the seat of power in South Africa.
It was I literally got to be in the parliamentary building. It was a unique and surreal experience. Yeah.
What did it look like inside that little the smaller of the houses that you were in?
Pretty ordinary. That house looked like it hadn't been stayed in at all. Oh. It was all but empty. There seemed to be a family running around there, and then the larger home was obviously where everybody, yeah, I presume, resides.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty normal.
All right, man. Well, yeah. Thanks for filling us in. I couldn't believe the story when I read it. There we go.
Mr. Cliff and all Mr. Right. Kopinski, good all to right. talk to you guys.
Thank you, Mike. There we go. Mike Stopforth, everybody. Wow, what a story, huh? Ben wants that simulator, I can tell.
Of course I do.
The Guptas.
Bring it around to the back of the building. Take a look. I'm going to try it for a week.
Okay, can we get paid?
No.
Can I get it back?
If you have to.
All right. It's only a couple hundred grand.
Exactly. Small change.
I got 70 million rand from SARS the other day, and that's not even a lot of money to them. We were talking about it yesterday. It's petty cash to the Gupta family. All right, let's get into some news, shall we? Mubs, what is going on, and what do we need to be paying attention to this Tuesday morning?
Well, guess who's crying unlawful dismissal?
Burning in Tlemeza, Brian Molefe, Pravin Gordhan. Who else?
Oh, well, let's focus on Brian for now, shall we?
All right. Oh,
if he had had his way yesterday, the urgent Labour Court application for his case to be heard, where he declares that his removal as the CEO of Eskom was unlawful, would have gone through. But unfortunately for him, the courts were not interested in hearing what he had to say because of a slight technicality, that being that his hearing was not arranged with the Labour Court. So it did not happen as was planned yesterday. The Registrar of the Court said yesterday afternoon that the hearing had not been arranged and therefore the matter could not go through. And it appeared that the respondents in the matter, Eskom and the Public Enterprises Minister, had not filed their responses to this urgent application. Unlawful dismissal? Uh-huh. Why? So he still wants to keep his job.
The balls on this guy.
The CEO.
The balls on this guy.
After all that has surrounded him, he still wants to be in that position. Molefe said that the board's decision, which was taken last week Friday, brought his summary dismissal from the employ of Eskom. And he said that the decision was unlawful in a number of respects. Firstly, the board has no power to remove him from that position of group executive. This power is exclusively entrusted to the minister.
Lynn Brown.
Yes, Lynn Brown. But wasn't it Lynn Brown that said that the board should rescind their decision to bring him back? It was the minister who said that, wasn't it?
I don't know, because when I see Lynn Brown on TV, I think it's a loaf of bread. Oh, and I'm amazed that it talks.
I don't know.
I can't figure it out.
What that has to do with the story at hand?
She looks like a loaf of bread from the front.
Oh, yeah. Because from the back is what?
Well, no, from the side, she'd look, you know, you can't look, she's not long. She's just sort of rectangular, a bit puffy at the top. Like if you had to slice, yeah, a slice of bread.
Molefe added that the board acted in breach of his contract of employment in that it purported to dismiss him in circumstances where it did not have the power to do so. And he said that the dismissal was not affected because of reasons relating to his conduct, capacity, or operational requirements.
How come it is so hard to fire someone in South Africa? Especially if they've been caught doing something wrong. Like this guy was crying on TV because he'd been caught with his hand in the till.
Back in the days of Saxon World Shabit.
I mean, he'd been caught out lying. Eskom had been run very badly. Mm. He'd pretty much been caught red-handed. He cries on TV, so that's an admission of guilt if ever I've seen one. And then you still can't fire him, but the president fires Pravin, and it's just done.
Yes, well, I mean, he's
the president. He doesn't have to follow the rules. He just fires whoever he wants to. Hires anyone else he needs to. Unbelievable, huh?
So now I don't know when this hearing will happen, because it was meant to happen yesterday, but then because of these technicalities, it couldn't. But yes, the man still wants to keep his job. I mean, wouldn't you want to keep a job that gives you
that
a 30 million rand bonus? I don't want to keep that job. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry too. Sounds like he was on a good package. The poor guy, what's he going to do now?
Yeah, sure.
Like, I care about his financial well-being.
Do you know, I got an e-toll bill the other day, and after I opened the envelope and I saw it, and then I chuckled, and then I threw it straight into the bin.
No, I had no
qualms about doing that at all.
What
do you do with your e-toll bills when they arrive?
I got one. I almost don't want to talk about this in case they discover that this is the case. I got one 2 weeks after they launched e-tolls.
Uh-huh.
And I tore that up and threw it away, which is the only responsible thing you should do as a citizen.
Yeah.
Because this is just sheer daylight robbery. It's bad enough that our tax money is used to fund houses in Dubai and to pay for a bunch of corruption and corrupt activities generally. But then to also have to pay for the privilege of the road your tax money's already built is just insane. It's like you're paying for something twice. You want to feel ripped off? Think about that. I mean, in the Western Cape, they were going to do this. And they said, no. This is completely unkind to the citizens. We're not going to allow this to happen. So if you're paying e-tolls, if you're one of those idiots, and I'm sorry, you're an idiot if you've got one of those e-tags. You're a complete moron. I know you thought when you did it you were a good law-abiding citizen. You are making it harder for the rest of us to keep this government accountable. You're part of the problem, actually. You should be embarrassed. You should take that thing off your car right now and throw it in your pool.
But I feel bad for people who, for example, have company cars, who, you know, car rental companies.
Car rental companies.
They'll probably go after them first.
Biggest pussies. If these guys just folded, they fell down like sheep. They are keeping the e-toll system alive. It's struggling. It's like a patient on ICU. This e-toll system is just dying. It's dying a rapid and unpleasant death. It stinks. There are cables coming out of it. Mm. It's coughing up blood. And the only people keeping it alive are these corporations who immediately thought, well, let's kowtow because we've got to do the right thing. Let's be law-abiding citizens. Well, you're making it really hard for the rest of us to keep up the bargain. We should have all joined OUTA instead of paying e-tolls right in the beginning, given them a nice kitty of money so they could fight this stuff in court, which they are doing to their credit, and I've given them money. And you should do the same. And do not pay your e-tolls unless you're an idiot.
All right, well, these quote, idiots, end quote, that you call them, Gareth, are in the minority.
Yeah, of course.
Because it was revealed yesterday that only 30% of e-toll invoices have been paid over the past 2 years.
That much?
That's a lot. That's a lot, right?
That's the car rental companies.
30%. The overwhelming majority of us do not care, not even just a little bit.
Nope.
This was revealed in
Nobody
a parliamentary
a
session yesterday. After the DA's David Ross asked the question about invoices from April 2015 until March 2017, and those invoices reveal that of more than 1.8 billion invoices that were issued in the past 24 months, 1.8 billion invoices that have been issued in the past 2 years, 71% of those were unpaid.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it too.
So well done to you, Mubs. You threw yours away.
Threw it in the bin.
Threw it in the trash, and you didn't even think twice.
No,
afterwards.
It took me all of 3.5 seconds to do it.
Yeah.
I opened the envelope, I saw what it was, threw it into the bin.
Just by the way, if there are people who are worried that what we're doing is unpatriotic and it's against the rules and all that, this is called civil disobedience, and it's a tactic used across the world by empowered citizens who refuse to be taken for a ride by a government that has clearly lost its moral high ground and credibility and are now just wastrels spending our money on themselves. You don't have to put up with this. And the next step, everybody, tax.
So now the Transport Minister has been asked to provide the total outstanding amount that both registered and non-registered e-toll users owe to SANRAL. And their scare tactic, Gareth, is that they're now going to go after individuals on companies. They're saying that all of us who haven't been paying our e-tolls will be taken to court for non-payment of invoices based on the merit.
This is why you have to support ARTA, because they will defend the individuals who are it's victimization. The individuals who are victimized by this disgusting system, they're going to come and defend you for free.
But they'll have to build courts to make this happen. Are they going to turn those fancy e-toll buildings into courts? No.
That's not how it works. There'll just be a backlog in the current courts to deal with this new problem.
Don't fall for it, everybody. Please, don't fall for this stuff. It is outrageous that we should be held hostage to a system that is so filthy and dirty and laden with just graft.
Shame.
Yes.
It's like those stupid TV licenses that I saw your email saying, pay your TV license. It's the right thing to do. Pay your TV license and you can win 500 rand grocery voucher or something. Like hell I will.
So I can't remember what I was actually even implored to watch on SABC TV the other day, but I caught a commercial for TV licenses.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for all of these people, some of which I actually know, you know, who work for the SABC.
There are good people at the SABC who are not going to be able to be paid. The SABC has no money. Apparently, they don't even have money for the parking discs of their own cars at the moment. I shudder to think what's going on there. This comes from Vika on WeChat this morning. It says, have you noticed how you also get charged VAT on e-toll invoices?
Oh, really?
That's a tax on a tax.
Oh, I haven't noticed because I haven't given the invoice.
How dare they do that? Isn't that outrageous?
Yeah, it is. Shame.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a little trip down Villa L35 on Lilac Street in Emirates Hills.
Where the hell is that? That's in Dubai. So that's where the president's bolt hole is going to be.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Think of this as a little MTV crib situation, because pictures and details about our president's home in the UAE have just been released.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Just go down this trip with me for a little while. Emirates Hills, by the way, to just give a brief background, is a very exclusive, exclusive real estate and has been billed as one of the most expensive postal codes in the city. So flashy that the police drive Bugattis.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Okay, this is good.
What a little in-your-face moment. Oh, absolutely.
Have you ever heard of elitism? Just by the way, when people talk about white monopoly capital, white monopoly capital hasn't got a hope in hell of getting this rich. This is unreal.
So move over, Nkandla, because right now the president's palatial home comes complete with 10 bedrooms, 13 bathrooms.
Ironically, that's still not enough for his whole family. Eh?
You would think.
A double grand staircase. And because he'll be doing many an entertaining night, 9 reception rooms.
Wow.
And space for 11 cars. And the top of the range fittings feature an excess of marble, mosaic, and gold as well. And who cares about that little fire pool in KZN? Because there's a sparkling pool fringed with palm trees waiting for him in Emirates Hills.
That sounds so sexy.
Oh, yes.
Man, when it's who wouldn't want that house?
When it's time to entertain and, you know, invite the neighbors over, all he has to do is just go down the street to invite a certain Mr. Mugabe over for some tea.
So you even get the same neighbor you would have had here.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, people think that this is a president who's very proud of being a Zulu man. He goes back to KZN, he slaughters an animal. He has the 3 wives, 4 at the moment. He's willing to give all of that up to live in this magnificent Emirates Hills.
330 million rand.
You've been suckered. You guys have been suckered. And if you are Jimmy Manyi or one of these people who's been supporting the president and saying, you know, he's a good South African who cares about the poor and cares about, you know, disenfranchised black people and wants to do things to bring equality to South African society, he's not taking you with to Dubai. if he decides to leave. Just remember that. You're going to be left here sitting in your hands. Not a friend in the world.
Can't trust anybody, man.
No.
Can't trust
anyone. What an amazing description of that house, Sia. You've just auditioned for your role in Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, and you win.
Oh, I reckon you've got the top billing job.
Yeah,
now.
That's
you
what I was
going to do.
So I'll actually take a special assignment.
Yeah. All you need to do now is prove that you can walk and talk.
Down the staircase.
This week on Top Billing, we take a trip down Emirates Hills.
Yeah. Now that's got to be on Top Billing, otherwise they're not doing their job.
You know,
yeah.
they can't be focusing on Cape Town houses
what
anymore because all the water features
40
are down.
Million rand house in Clifton at Camps Bay.
Cares.
Give us Emirates Hills.
Yeah, there's a palace in Dubai, man. Let's
they
go.
Can also be focusing on the 18 million rand apartment owned by Duduzane Zuma, you know?
Yeah,
Burj Khalifa. So, hey.
Nice.
There's wealth for choice in the UAE now.
Nice.
What are our lives, guys?
I'm not even jealous, though. I mean, I wouldn't want to live in Dubai.
And how do you really enjoy that? So there you are sitting in one of your reception rooms. You know, when someone has really achieved success and has worked hard for their money, they sit and relax and lounge with not a care in the world.
Yeah.
But can you really say you have no care in the world knowing that how you even landed up here is not the best of ways?
Well,
it's
going
to be so great hearing Oros defend this even when he's there.
Oros is not going there.
Yeah, I know, but no, of course he would because it's not that important. He's got his Pretoria house, that's enough. But when Jay-Z makes the move, how people will still be defending his movements, going, oh, well, you know, white monopoly capital meant it wasn't safe for him to live here anymore.
Do you think someone in the president's camp is constantly talking to Sean Spicer as well? And they swap tips on how to
generate fake news?
Yeah.
I reckon it's like a secret handshake club. They're all in it together.
Yeah.
Wow.
Various countries. It's like a WhatsApp group from hell.
Well, it puts everything in perspective. Can you imagine if your husband kept saying to you, no, I'm not cheating on you. No, I'm not cheating on you. No, I'm not cheating on you. And then you discovered that he'd bought a house in another country and had started setting up to duck and leave you behind. That's kind of how it is. Father's Day is coming up, everybody. The father of our nation at the moment is ready to abscond, just like so many other fathers in South Africa have, leaving your whole family destitute.
Well, I think in this case, it's more a step further than that, because it's like, no, I'm not cheating on you. I just happened to slip into this woman's nether regions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I tripped and slipped right in.
That's all it is.
Great. Good move.
It's crazy.
Well, you can message us if you'd like on WhatsApp, 0797-482090. If you want to call us, 0861-555-189. Put it in your phone now, and you can call us anytime you like. Someone says here, Gareth, I was listening to yesterday's podcast. I'm with you on calling my good friend's names. I call my best friend the C word. This is Louise, by the way. It's a girl. I call my best friend the C word, knob and twat all the time. I often call my female friends motherfuckers. I don't care if you name me and I'm not sometimes mean to you, then it means I don't like you. Okay, well, you also have problems with English, Louise, but we'll put that aside for the moment. Have a good day, you motherfuckers, says Louise. Isn't that nice?
Oh, so now so that's sweet. A term of endearment to us as well.
Yeah,
thanks.
I think she likes us. Good morning, everybody. I just woke up and I would like more sex. Have a fabulous day, Shannon.
Hey, Shannon, go and get yours, man.
Yeah,
go
help
and
yourself.
Get yours.
Isn't it annoying when you wake up in the morning and you are able to have some sex, but then you've got to get to work in a hurry? Isn't that the worst?
That kind of does ruin things after.
Because you think of every excuse as to why you don't have to pitch up at work on time. It's not going to happen. They're going to know what's going on.
Yeah, but you can run late once.
Come on. You get to the office at 9 o'clock and you look like you just had the best start to your day. Everyone knows what happened. Everybody's going, ha-ha, we see what you've done.
You've got to prioritize in life, Gareth.
Yeah, well, I was going to say in my history
an orgasm
here,
is
having to be at 6,
recommended by any doctor in the world.
I hear you, but how do you do that?
Start your
Speaking
day
of
right.
Which, how are your nipples, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, moving on with the show. Time for the next thing.
Yeah, all right.
Let's go.
There's a lot still to talk about this morning. We're going to get to that in a second or two. I want to talk to Greg from Touchbase Pro because it's Greg Phillips. You know these bulk emails that you get to send? A lot of people use them to market themselves and their companies and their brands and all the rest of it. Sometimes they're effective, sometimes they're not. Maybe you hate receiving them, or maybe you're sending them out and you'd like to know how could be more effective. I'm going to speak to him in a second or two, because there are people who don't know how this works. And if you use it effectively, it can really do wonders for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you end up in someone's inbox and they actually click on the email and they read it, I mean, that's pretty direct and successful marketing. Of course, on the other hand, if they delete it, you haven't achieved even half of what you wanted to. And, you know, we get our newsletter sent out every single week here at cliffcentral.com. And lots of people. I think it's something close to about 40,000 subscribers that we have daily, monthly. What is it? 30, 40, 50? How much is it? See, 50? Mm. 50,000? So that's your way of keeping in contact with us. And we hope that what we put in our newsletter is interesting to you. And if you have suggestions, obviously, you could tell us what you want more of. I think we took off the weather once for Polokwane, and people were like, hey, I need to know what the weather is in Polokwane. I'm like, yeah, really? So we had to put it back on. Hey, Greg, come and have a seat here. Sit down. Let me say hi to Greg. Greg Phillips is with TouchBase Pro, and you can find them online at TouchBase Pro on Twitter. They're an email marketing service provider. Hey, Greg. How you doing, man?
Good, and you, Gareth?
Good. I see you brought us some breakfast.
I did.
Look at you trying to bribe us.
That's incredible. Oh, that's amazing.
That's very kind.
Some croissants.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
How that's about very that? Cool.
This is how civilized people do it.
So Greg, did I more or less get it right there? Like, if email direct marketing works, it really works well.
It really can. I mean, if you've got a relationship, even if it's a tenuous one with the person that you're speaking to, it can really work. I mean, the stats show that it can be up to 50%, can get up to 50% conversion rate with B2C customers.
So what are the ingredients to make this kind of thing work? Because there are obviously ways to make it work from a technological point of view, but there are content ways to make it work that make people's lives better and easier and that they find useful and interesting, as opposed to stuff that just clogs up the mailbox.
So the first thing is that you got to want what's being sent to you.
Yeah.
So if it's stuff that you don't want to get, I mean, that's just unsubscribe. You don't want to have that. So if it's content that you want to get, that's what you got to have. I mean, it's that relationship that you got to start off with. Then it's a whole bunch of psychology that goes into it. So you're starting off with the from name that it's coming from. You know, if you recognize that, then mm-hmm. it's the subject line. Is the subject line a little bit, you know, are you being realistic, or are you trying to, you know, bait the person with a bit of clickbait? You know, what I've seen is being a little bit more realistic works. And then the last point is the content inside there. Are you using nice big hero images? Is it easy to read? Is it nicely spaced out?
In other words, has whoever's put this together put some thought into it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Is the content great to look at? You know, so that's what makes...
Well, I mentioned we've got, you know, CSS around 40, 50,000 people who read our newsletter daily or even weekly. I like to go into my inbox, and I did this exercise. I started it about 3 years ago, where if stuff comes in that I didn't want, I actually click on that unsubscribe, and I go through and I make sure that it's unsubscribed.
Sure.
And when you do that, you end up with far less clutter in your inbox, and you don't have to spend hours and hours deleting crap. But when you do get the stuff that you care about, it really does become part of your routine. You read the news there every morning, or you check on what's going on in the markets, whatever it might be that you're interested in.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. I mean, the thing that most people relate email marketing to is the one size fits all. The, you know, a daily or monthly newsletter that a lot of marketing people are doing. But what a lot of companies aren't doing is the automation side of things, the transactional side of things.
All right, now tell me about that.
Okay, so before I carry on, I really just want to be understood. So if I use like...
Don't get too technical.
Shoot me down.
I'll keep you on the straight and narrow.
All right, cool. So like just shoot me down. My wife's a doctor, so I hate going to a doctor and then they use like the crazy words or something like that you think like you've gone... and studied with everything like that. So just shoot me down. All right. Cool. So the automation side of things is all about sending a message to a person or a little bit when they've taken a certain action or half an hour after they've taken a certain action. Those types of messages that companies can send are the ones that are really the ones that aren't getting used as much as they could be used.
Explain to me what you mean.
Okay, so let's say I go and let's say I'm running a website that sends out recommendations of restaurants that you can go and eat at, okay? Mm-hmm. And there's an app that's on my phone that is linked with that that company, and I land inside. I land at Cape Town, so it's figured out that I've landed at Cape Town. Mm-hmm. If that's the trigger to then send me a message and say, hey, these are the great restaurants that are available in your area.
Right.
That's the automation trigger that would happen at that point to send the message. Whereas if you were just sending it out on a Friday to say these are the great restaurants in Cape Town, it doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah, so it's almost like geotagged push notifications.
Yeah, or there could be another one that could make sense. So now for Cliff Central, let's say a person was on the website and they're busy listening to a podcast, mm-hmm. and they're just about to leave, and a little message pops up and says, hey, do you want us to remind you later on to finish listening to this podcast?
Yeah.
Fill in your email address, and then later on we send you a message and you say, hey.
Yeah. So in other words, it's got to be designed to be relevant and to make people's lives more useful, more effective.
Yeah, it's specific to that one person. Okay. So it's something for a business that's key to that person. You would have seen it in abandoned shopping carts as well. So you've put a couple of items in your shopping cart, and then a day later or 6 hours later, you get a message from the company saying, hey, you forgot something to give us money or something like that. Yeah?
What kind of increase in effectiveness can you deliver to people who use this kind of marketing?
So the stats show that 50% increase in B2C conversion rates if you're using
B2C
automation.
B2C is business to customer.
Business consumer, customer, yeah. So like your shopping cart type, your e-commerce websites, that's what they can expect to achieve. Well, that's the top end of the stats. That's what the companies that produce these stats say. I doubt that those are averages, but those are the top ends of the stats that they say. All right. For the transactional stuff is another bit of email marketing that I'd like to chat about. Those are the ones that your systems can send out. So if you have a system that, like let's say a website, you go and somebody goes and forgotten their password and they go and fill out their details and then a password reminder email goes mm-hmm. out to them. That's a transactional email. Or any email that a system of yours sends out, so not a staff member of your company.
Okay.
If you had to put your marketing messages on those emails, you can expect up to 8 times more readership on those emails.
Hmm.
So that's where your company could be using emails it's already sending to get more exposure for what it's currently doing. So those are the couple of the hidden places that you could use. So, Gareth, there is something that we're doing for you guys that I wanted to chat to you about. I don't know if you're aware about what we're doing. We've been doing a bit of a challenge or whatever.
Yeah, what's the challenge?
So we came and spoke to you guys, and we're taking on a bit of a challenge with Cliff Central.
Yeah.
So you guys are currently doing a daily newsletter and it's Daily Dose?
Yeah.
Going out daily. And we're going to relook at that, and we're going to be using these unused sections of email marketing, that being automation, segments, transactional, things like that, over the next 2 months, and seeing if we can, see if we can improve the stats.
So what do we need to do? If I receive this email every day, what do I need to do?
So you do receive it every day, but you don't, like the people that are listening that are on that database, they don't really have to do anything just yet. They're going to see some changes coming through. We're going to be setting up a page on the website where we're going to ask people to go and tell us what they're interested in. So we're going to segment a little bit so if you're not really interested in the business side of things, take that off. Or if you're not really interested in the sports side of things, uncheck that. Just so that you get told about content that you're interested in. So we know because right now we've just got everybody interested in everything.
Okay. Yeah. So you can choose what you really care about, and you can dilute the stuff you don't care about.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly. So you guys make a lot of great content, but we can't send it all out all the time. I mean, it'll just be such a long email. Okay. So we want to send out a little bit of content, maybe 3 things per day.
Okay.
Somewhere around there. And push out the great stuff on a daily basis.
It sounds terrific. I'm looking forward to seeing what these stats reveal.
Yeah, me too. We got some great stuff to work with. I mean, you guys are great
Do you do a lot of other work if people are interested in hiring you guys to help them with their own?
Definitely. I mean, if companies out, well, that's the one thing that we wanted to chat about now as well. Companies that possibly are struggling with the current climate, there's the ability to use automation. I mean, that's where you could get a lot more conversions with your sales team. Mm-hmm. Now, the guys could go onto our website, book a demo with our business developers. It's a 25-minute demo that they'll share screens. We'll show you what the system, how the system works. It's www.touchbasepro.com. Book a demo there, a time that suits you best. And, we'll set it up from there, show you how all the features work. It's a quick learning curve. We'll do all the work for you.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it.
Very nice to meet you, man.
Likewise.
Thanks for coming in to see us this morning.
No problem.
And a lot of people could benefit from this stuff.
Definitely. I'll be back in about 2 months to see how.
Good. We'll check on those stats here. And by the way, if you do have feedback for us, don't ever be shy to let us know what you think. And what you want more of and what you want less of.
Cool.
We don't do this for our health. We don't do it just to fill up your inbox every day. Do it to add value to your life. If we're not doing that, you need to tell us. Be better at it. Thanks, Greg.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for popping around.
Cool, man.
All right. You need to know more? Head on over to touchbasepro.com. You can also check them out on social media. Greg Phillips. In my direction. Thankful for that, such a blessing, yeah. Turn every situation into heaven, yeah. Oh, you are the only key, know how to turn it on. The way you never lie, my ear, the only words I wanna hear. Baby, take it. Despacito, nos vamos pegando poquito a poquito. Isn't that nice? That's new Bieber, along with a guy called Louis Fonzi.
Si.
Louis Fonzi and Daddy Yankee. Despacito.
Sabe, sabecito.
I like it. Si already knows the words.
Dos burrito.
No, there's no burrito. Don't lie.
He says dos burrito in there somewhere.
Please, you're so
next
racist.
Next thing you'll slot in, Sofia Vergara.
Hey, listen, speaking of racists and backward people, you know there's that guy, I played you...
Oh,
that,
this can go many ways.
No, there's that guy in America, I played you that clip a while ago, of that really angry political guy. And there are talk shows in America, particularly on internet radio, thousands of them, where you've just got these really angry conservative people who just hate everyone. And what happens is... They have a number of listeners, not always a large number of listeners, sometimes very small. They're dedicated, but then you get the other shows that troll them. And this is funny because if you're an angry right-winger, you're going to get trolled by people who disagree with you. And this angry – you remember the guy? I played you that clip and then we even had that troll song. Remember the trolls? That's how he sounds.
I am going to take a call.
So this guy, he was trolled the other day, and someone sent me this clip by a whole bunch of different callers. It was maybe the same people, but they'd set up a bunch of different calls. So he's trying to run his right-wing show about how, you know, Donald Trump's fantastic. He's saying immigrants must all get out of here and he just hates everybody. So the angry political guy is trying to do his show, and he gets trolled. Listen to this. This is fantastic.
I am going to take a call. 973 area code. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi. I'm just calling to thank you for all of your support of Hillary Clinton.
I never supported Hillary Clinton.
What?
She is lower than slime. You must have the wrong goddamn number.
But just last week you said Bill Clinton was our greatest living president.
You're a lying bitch.
Wow.
I have never said that, would never say that. You're nothing but a goddamn troll.
Are you pulling my leg?
Go to hell. You'll never be on my show again, bitch. 802.
So now he's getting really fired up. So now he takes another call straight after that, and they just keep coming.
802 area code. Who are you? What do you want?
Shalom. This is Rabbi Jason Kaplan.
Kaplan, huh?
Yes, and I just want to thank you for all your support on Israel and the entire Jewish community.
Oh, bullshit. Bullshit.
It's been a mitzvah for my people. Thank you so much.
Don't come out and give me that shit. Fuck you, Rabbi. Fuck you. Who are you, and what do you want?
Hi, it's Mehmet and Sal. You're on speakerphone at our wedding.
So?
We met you a week ago in San Francisco. You told us you'd officiate our gay wedding over the phone.
I've never been to San Francisco. I didn't go to your wedding ceremony. I didn't promise to officiate. So you're a lying piece of shit, too.
Oh, please.
Don't come on my show and lie, you goddamn cocksucker.
You are such a drama queen.
You piece of shit. Okay, 619.
How are you?
Who are you, you ignorant motherfucker?
I just wanted to know if you want to attend my gay Jewish son's Hillary Clinton themed bar mitzvah.
You know, I wouldn't be caught dead. You'd have to shoot me and pop me up at your bar mitzvah, you ignorant goddamn Jew.
So no plus one. You're just coming
to fuck you.
So this is the guy's show, and he just gets really wound up, and it's so easy to get him angry.
Yeah, it really
he hates everyone. No, he hates everyone. So that, and this is his song. Remember
my phone calls, baby. Hoping some dumb asshole don't call.
You're such a fucking jerk.
Sick and tired of all of these ignorant bastards.
So this is the show that he does. But I listened to this and I thought, you know what? I wonder what he gets out of this. I mean, he can't have a lot of listeners. He's getting his he's letting go some steam by being angry with everybody. But then he ends up being entertainment when he least expects it, because smarter people than him are calling in and getting more riled up.
He sounds so wound up constantly.
It's just angry the whole time. It's fantastic. It is funny, right? I mean, it's very entertaining.
I mean, some of those callers were brilliant.
Yeah, he needs to chill a bit.
So everything he hates, they call in with that stuff. Chris says, if I had a genie to grant me three wishes, I would wish to line up all three of these people. Brian, Oros, Atul, this is more than three. Brian, Oros, Atul, Tony, Malusi, Jacob, etc. And let the whole of South Africa publicly throw fruit.
Exactly. Okay, well. We've got to get back to basics.
Nah, the shame bell. I'm telling you, from Game of Thrones, the shame bell's the way to go. You just march them down the street with a shame bell. Yes. Anushka says, guys, quite frankly, I would pay for the president to go to Dubai with the agreement that he never returns. So people are angry about that. Sia, a lot of people complimenting you on your excellent reading of the details of what it looks like at that house in Dubai. People saying, Robin Leach of Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous has nothing on you. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
If you want to get hold of us on WhatsApp, 0797482090. And if you want to get hold of us on WeChat, you can do that on Cliff Central. And that's one word. If you want to call us, 0861-555-189. I'm very excited. We're going to have the ambassador from the Netherlands coming in to see us in a short while. She is just going to tell us all about the Netherlands, our relationship with South Africa, obviously. Their relationship with South Africa. I love the Dutch. I've got friends who, you know, we've got Rob, who lives in Amsterdam, who calls us all the time. He loves being in Holland. He says it's the most wonderful country in the world. I'm excited to hear about how they do things in Holland and what kinds of things they do with South Africa. We'll find out a little bit about the country. And Marisa Gerards, who's the Dutch ambassador, is going to pop by to talk to us in a little while.
Very awesome.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yep.
It's fantastic.
So, just yesterday, as we are consummate professionals of, you know, everything happening in courts around the world.
Oh, yes.
We know all about court cases. We've been following the Henry van Breda case, where no one else was interested.
And now we have extra workload because the Bill Cosby case is officially underway. Began yesterday, and so it started off, you know, with basically prosecutors in their opening remarks saying that Bill Cosby's own words would help convict the once popular comedian and actor of drugging and sexually assaulting a Temple University employee at his nearby home in 2004. Yep. So it started off with a defense lawyer telling the jurors that the employee had made up the assault, citing that 53 phone calls she made to Mr. Cosby after the incident. I love that in all these court documents, they call him Mr. Cosby. After the incident. So this basically shows that she had not been attacked, because their whole evidence is, well, if you were really attacked, then why would you still keep a relationship with this man? The trial is happening in Philadelphia, and this is the only criminal case to arise from the many accusations made against Bill by women, some of whom have actually went to court to watch. Camille Cosby, Bill Cosby's wife, did not attend, and the prosecution's first witness was a second woman named Kelly Johnson, who said that Bill Cosby attacked her in a Hotel Bel Air bungalow in LA.
What a total creep.
After having her swallow a large white pill. So odd. Bill Cosby himself did not and will not testify, but a certain Andrea Constand is set to offer her account in what is expected to be the most dramatic moment in the trial. So whatever's going to happen, regardless, it started off on Monday on a very emotional start. A woman also testified tearfully that two decades ago he befriended her, won her trust, got some gifts from Bill Cosby. Mm-hmm. And then she got drugged and sexually abused as well. So,
hey ladies, yikes. This round of drinks is on me. Hey! This is going to be a good night.
What's going on, Ben?
Just getting back to this, yeah. What is his jury? I mean, is Bill O'Reilly in there? Like, who's presiding on this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, your jury will make or break your case.
But I mean,
that important. It's about the jury.
Like a jury of your peers. Like, how would the process work for Bill?
And I just don't understand his legal team as well. They are going after, it's not even like trying to go after the impossible here. They really have their work cut out for them. Because, you know, what they said in their opening statements is that the assault never happened, insisting that their client, Bill Cosby, while in inverted commas, and I quote, a flawed husband, was not an abuser. They described that there are inconsistencies in the woman's account and conduct, and that that did not suggest that she was a victim, while she also even took her parents to watch a Bill Cosby show afterwards, so after the alleged assault.
Remember Bill says that this woman is lying, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, he says
all 50 of them are lying.
Right.
He's the only honest guy left in America, according to him.
Number two, he said, yes, I gave her a pill, but that was for her to relax and to de-stress her. So then the other
she
side...
She was still wriggling and carrying on.
And he said that the sex was consensual. Mm. So then the counter...
Because you wouldn't want to have sex with me.
So then the counter...
With my big glaucoma eye.
Oh, he's now legally blind.
All right, he can't see anymore?
No, he can't. So then the counter argument to that was, okay, Mr. Cosby, so then how does a woman give consent when she's incapacitated?
Yeah.
Because you gave her the pill. So then how can you say the sex was consensual? She's incapacitated.
So this is why they're saying his own words could end up incriminating him.
So Kelly Johnson, the witness who spoke about the Hotel Bel Air situation back in 1996, says that after taking the pill, it made her feel like she was underwater. Wow. And she awoke a little while later, lying on the bed, partially undressed, while Bill was behind her. Ugh. She had lotion on her hands.
Lotion!
You know where this is going. And she says that he made her touch his penis. She says that my dress was pulled up from the bottom and it was pulled down from the top. Ugh. And she said my breasts were out and I felt naked. But nonetheless, Bill Cosby still denies the assault allegations.
Mm. Yeah, he wants you to believe it was all consensual because he's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
Women are just lining up around the corner to be with Bill.
We'll definitely be keeping our non.
Have you seen what he looks like lately?
Out on this.
He looks like a scary cartoon character. I mean, once I suppose when he was Dr. Cliff Huxtable back in the 80s, he had this kind of, teddy bear quality to him.
Yes, like his features were comical.
Now he's like a teddy bear that's been lying in the driveway for 7 years. It's been driven over by the car. It's lost one of its eyes. It's kind of gone a bit gray and dusty. It just looks bad. And I feel so sorry for these women because you can imagine also they've been dealing with this on their own for upwards of 20 years.
Mm.
Nobody's taking them seriously. Then as you see the women start to pop up, other women come up and they're like, yeah, that happened to me too. And it must be, just in terms of sheer numbers, Bill has got to be one of the worst sex offenders of all time.
I really don't think there's no way he can get himself out of this or even...
Well,
in the public sphere.
Going to jail for a long time. No, it's not going to be a pretty situation.
At all.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for the updates, yeah? Lots of other stuff that we've got to talk about, but I don't know if we've got time for it today. Later on this week, by the way, we'll speak to Bob Mabena, who's going to pop in on Friday morning. Haven't spoken to him or caught up with him in ages. Justice Malala on Thursday with a burning platform where we get to catch up on all the political analysis of the week. And there is so much to talk about. So Justice Malala with the burning platform on Thursday at 7 o'clock. It's brought to you by Nando's. We've also got that lunch at Rockets, the brand new Rockets that opened up in Johannesburg.
What a week.
It's on Friday.
I need to plan like a whole Instagram shoot and outfit for the
occasion. I know. And while we're busy going through upcoming excitement, we've got Elna McIntosh, our sexologist, popping by again next week. And she's going to bring the guy from the sperm bank. So if you've ever wanted to know anything about that, they're going to pop in.
Awesome. That was the top of the list of people I wanted him
to bring. Of
course.
You don't want to know about that? I think it's fascinating. I mean,
it really is.
Who are the donors? Who are the ones who need it?
Especially now, this week, there's this whole new medical term called sperm washing that's just been announced. And that basically means a HIV-positive man can now impregnate an HIV-negative woman.
And the kid will not have HIV.
Exactly.
Well,
through whatever sperm washing is, we should definitely ask
that. Brilliant, but you can also, this brings up the whole discussion around designer babies and everything else. So plenty to talk about then. And hopefully next week we'll also have Makosi Koza come in. She's the Member of Parliament who's had quite a lot to say lately about state capture.
Yes.
She was also the head of the portfolio committee that went into the SABC and looked into all the skullduggery there. And she's a real hero. She's like, in many people's eyes, the successor to Thuli Madonsela when it comes to strong people in South Africa just not going to tolerate being ridden roughshod over. So Makosi Koza, the MP for the ANC.
And she's just fabulous.
Yeah, she's terrific.
She's fabulous.
I first noticed her when I saw that big Tina Turner hairstyle.
Yes, yes.
She's fantastic. And Peter Dirk Ace, among other things. I mean, it's so busy, there's not even breathing room. When we come back in a moment or two, we'll meet the ambassador from the Netherlands to South Africa. Very exciting, and I'm delighted that she managed to make time in her busy schedule to be with us today. So she's coming up next, just after 8 o'clock.
CliffCentral.com.